Well, I'd just like to pray before we start. Father, I just ask that you would be with us today as the center of all of our strength and everything that we need. I just pray that you would speak through me and touch the hearts of the people by your love and not by what I have to say. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about brokenness today, and I know it's a yucky subject, and it's not something that any of us want. It's not something that we would desire or think should be part of our lives, but it is part of our lives, and I guess the first thing about it is, if you're going to be a Christian, you should expect it, because the Bible actually tells us it's going to come. In Matthew 21:44, it says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now, the stone is obviously Jesus. So what it's saying is, if you're going to follow him, if you're going to fall on him, he's going to break you. If you don't want to be broken so you won't fall on him, he's going to grind you to powder. I mean, I would rather be broken than ground to powder. And those are your only two choices. There's no other option. It's either you're going to be broken or you're going to be ground to powder. I guess when I was younger, I used to think that, you know, you hear, like, God is love and God is good and Jesus came to heal and he came to save, and that's all true. But there are times when God is going to hurt you. And it's not because he is mean. It's not because he enjoys to see you hurting. But it's because he would rather break you than grind you to powder. It's because he loves you. I guess if you get broken, you can heal. But if you're ground to powder, you're pretty much done for. And God would rather break you than kill you. So don't fight when the brokenness comes. There's any sort of way that it comes. It's not going to come the same way to each person. Something bad happens to you and it breaks you deep down inside your heart, maybe where nobody else can even see it. You get broken, and our first reaction is always to push it away. We don't want it. Like, why is this happening to me? I'm not this bad. But don't fight it when it comes. Just let it come. Surrender to it, because God is trying to promote you to the next level. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to take the wind out of your sails. He's trying to promote you to higher ground. And the way he does it is often by breaking you, because we just got to face it, we're sinners, and there's so much in us that is wrong, and we don't even see it, and we don't even know it, but God does know it. So don't fight him when something bad happens to you. Instead of, like, freaking out, I mean, I know we all do this, I do it, and, like, God, why are you doing this to me? Like, why is this happening? Why is everything falling apart? You should instead just surrender to him and say, God, whatever you're doing, just take me with you. In Hosea 6:1, it says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." Sometimes he breaks you, but he's also the one that's going to bind you up, and he's also the one that's going to heal you. And I know for myself, when I have been broken very deeply, I struggled very hard with trusting God again. I'm like, well, how can I trust you again when you have just practically killed me? And yet, there's no life outside of Him. And if we are going to be healed, He's going to be the one to heal us, because we aren't going to heal on our own. We're just going to die. You have to let Him. You actually have to let Him heal you. You have to surrender to the brokenness, because God is in control and He knows exactly where you are. And He is not breaking you because He's mean-hearted or because He doesn't care. He cares very much. But sometimes when God breaks you, it is because there's sin in you that God is trying to purge out. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Like, if there's sin, the only thing that can come of it is death. Nothing good is ever going to come from sin. And God cannot be love if He could just let you go on in sin. He has to get your attention so that you can stop that sin. And I had a good example of this when, well, my brother bought a tree, and it was, you know, a good-sized tree, and it had these big, beautiful hibiscus flowers on it, and I just loved it. But they took it outside one day. I guess it wasn't getting enough sun or something. And when they brought it back in, after a couple of days, they noticed that it had gotten bugs on it. Like, I don't know what kind of bugs, but something had gotten on it. And these bugs multiply, like, rapidly. You can't even imagine how fast they reproduce. So Timothy was like, well, I don't have time for this. I'm going to throw it in the dumpster. And I said, don't throw it out. I want it. He said, we'll take it. So I put it in my car, and I didn't really look it over. I actually didn't see the bugs on it. I just put it in my car. I took it home. I put it on the porch, and I was like, yeah, I got a tree. And well, it started blooming again. I had taken it in the house, and it started blooming again, and I went over one day to look at it. And I was just shocked out of my wits. There was so many bugs on it, you could almost not even see the tree. It was crazy. And there was lots of buds on it that were just about ready to open. But every one of them was solid, covered with bugs. There was no breather room. And I was like, oh my goodness. I have to get this out of the house right away. So I took it out. I took it back out to the porch, and I was like, there's no way I can get the bugs off it. There's too many. The only way you could possibly get them off is by cutting all that stuff off that has the bugs on it. And I literally spent hours and hours. I had to cut every single bloom off that tree because every one of them was covered with bugs. All the new leaves that were springing out, I had to cut all of them off. And I was very gentle with the tree because I didn't want it to die. So I didn't even take half the bugs off the first time. But I cut all that stuff off. I burnt the stuff that I took off, and then I left it for a while, and I went back and looked, and it was just covered in bugs. And I literally spent, I'm going to say, close to 4 months working with that tree, basically every week I would go back and look at it, and it would be covered with bugs. And I would paw over that tree and look over it, and I would cut everything off that I could see. Any bug that I could see, I would take off. And I would go back a week later, and it was covered in bugs. And I was like, and so I looked online on like how to get rid of bugs, and I did everything it said, and eventually there came a day when I went back and looked, and there was no bugs. Now, I suppose if the tree had feelings, he would have been like, what are you doing to me? Like, why are you cutting off every new thing that comes on me, every new leaf that opens up? I had to cut it off because the bugs always went to the new leaves. They didn't worry about the old ones. It was all the new growth. So every new thing that came out on it, I had to cut it off. And I sprayed it off with the hose. I sprayed it off in the shower because it was in the winter time. I couldn't take it outside. And I put oil all over the tree because that was supposed to help kill them. And eventually, it doesn't have bugs on it anymore. And while I was at that time in my life, I was also going through a very, very deep struggle where God was breaking me deeper than I ever wanted to be broken. And it started to connect in my mind what was happening. Like, it seemed like every time I just got to the point where I was where I felt like I finally had my head above water in my own struggle, it was like I got slapped back under the water, and I was like, God, why are you keeping, like, why can't you just let me grow? Why do you have to keep cutting me down? And it was like it just clicked in my head, the same exact reason that I keep cutting off all the new shoots on this tree. That's what God is doing to me. Because I'm in no way perfect, and there's still bugs there. And I had to come to the point where I said, okay, God, just do what you're doing. I'm all yours. So it was a good illustration to me of what God is doing. Sometimes, like what's happening to me, you might feel like everything that looks like it's going to be a good thing in your life ends up being a bad thing, or you get cut down by it. It's not because God hates you. It's not because he's trying to destroy you, but there might still be bugs on you. And if I had let the tree go without taking the bugs off it, it would not be alive. And not only would the tree not be alive, but it also would have infected every other plant in the house. And that's what sin is. It will affect not only yourself, but everybody around you. And you don't want that. And nobody else does either. You have to let God take the bugs off. Even if you can't see them, even if you don't know they're there, trust that he can see them, that he does know they're there, and think of it as mercy. Because if he doesn't break you, he's going to grind you to powder. It says also, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it goes on to say that if you're not chastened, you're not one of God's. If he doesn't correct you, you're not one of his children. So let him correct you. Just don't be afraid. Like, of course, that was probably my biggest thing. I was so afraid. Like, so afraid he was, that he didn't care anymore. Or that he never had cared in the first place, because why would he be hurting me so bad? But it's because he loves you that he's hurting you. and he's trying to conform you to the image of his Son, he promised that he was going to do it. All of us who are Christians were going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And it's probably going to hurt, because we're going to have to be changed. But don't be afraid to keep trusting him when he hurts you, because he's doing it out of love. Now, there's also a person that can be broken, not because there's sin, but for reasons that God knows. Job was broken very deeply, and it wasn't because he had sin in his life, because it says he was perfect. But he was broken for reasons that God knows, and God brought good out of it. God is able to redeem your broken situation wherever it is and however it is. He's big enough to take care of it. Just let him, you just have to let him do it. The most important thing about this is when you are broken, if you do not have a solid foundation, you're going to be washed away. There's little trials that can come in your life that they're not too serious, they're not too big, they don't bother you that bad. I mean, it hurts, but when you get broken all the way down into the core of your being, if you do not have a solid foundation, 100% commitment to God, you're not going to make it. You'll be washed away because it hurts too bad. There came a point in my life where I was hurting so bad, I was like, I don't even know if I can keep going on. But it's pointless to call yourself a Christian if you're not actually going to believe what God says. And so I felt like I can't take any more of this. I don't want what God is doing to me. I don't care if it's good. I can't take it. But then what's my other choice? I didn't have another choice other than not being a Christian, and I don't want that either. And I had to come to the place where I said 100%, no ifs, ands, buts, anything about it. I stand on the Bible, period. Because I had so many feelings, and I had so many conflicting emotions, and not only that, but so many friends telling me, do this or do that, or you should think of it this way, and you simply cannot listen to all of that stuff. Sometimes people have good advice for you, and that's fine, but sometimes they just don't know where you're at, and sometimes what they tell you is just not relevant. But you have to make a commitment 100%. There is no, I don't know how to say it stronger than 100%, maybe 200%, that you will only believe what the Bible says. Because you have feelings like, I don't know, just take some random example, like somebody abuses you, and then you have all the feelings, all the emotions of that. You're saying, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, you know, whatever comes out of something like that, that's how you're going to feel. And your feelings are so real that it seems like reality. And if you do not have the Bible to counteract what you're feeling, you're not going to believe, pretty soon you're not going to believe any truth. It's all going to be lies, because the Bible is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Like, Jesus is the truth. If there's anything that contradicts what he says, it's not true. And so, if you feel like God has forsaken you, you feel like God doesn't care, you feel like there's no way he would have let this happen to me if he loved me, but that's not what the Bible says, therefore it can't be the truth. And you have to get to the point where you cannot listen, not even for 1 second, to any other voice. Any feeling that you have, anything that anybody says to you, anything that you can imagine, you cannot listen to it for even 1 second, because it's going to take over what the Bible actually says. There were so many people during that time of my life that would say to me, like, wow, you're so strong, or I can't believe you can actually do that. And I felt like punching them. I was like, I'm not strong at all. There's nothing strong about me. I'm falling apart. The only strength that I had was 100% commitment to believe what this says. And so my feelings say all sorts of, I can't even tell you what they say. There's too many. And not only do I have, I had so many conflicting emotions that they were like this all the time. And that's not truth. The Bible is the only thing that's truth. And when you're going through deep, deep waters where you can't, you feel like you can't even get a breather, there's no way you're going to make it out of that without having the Bible as your solid foundation. You are going to do what the Bible says, regardless of how hard it is, regardless of what you feel, regardless of anything that anybody says to you, you're going to do what the Bible says. And I think that's the only way you're going to make it through. And when you get to the other side of those very deep waters, you're going to look back and you're going to say, God really did care. God was really right. What he said was true. You can't look at yourself. You can't look at your situation. You can't look at what's happening or what somebody has done to you. It might all be rotten, but perfect peace comes from looking at God, because he's the only thing that we have. He's the only source of life. He's the only way that we have hope. And I guess I used to think, like when I was younger, I hate pain. I just hate pain. And I hate pain for myself, and I hate pain for someone else. I hate to see somebody else hurting, and I hate to see, even, I don't even like to see animals die. I just don't like pain. And I would always freak out, you know, like, God, why is there so much pain? Why are you hurting me so bad? Or why are you hurting so-and-so? Like, I hated pain. But after I went through those deep waters, when I came out on the other side, I was like, you know what? I still don't like pain. But pain is going to come to everybody's life. It just happens. And it's not, the important thing is not trying to shelter yourself from being hurt. the important thing is knowing where you stand with God, because He's big enough to carry you through whatever happens to you. And He's big enough to redeem your painful situations. So I guess I'll just leave you with the thought, if you are like me, trying to get out of pain, you should instead surrender to it and just let God do what He's doing. And the most important thing is standing solidly on Jesus Christ, because that's ultimately what matters. That's what's going to carry you through. And that's what's going to make you victorious through that pain. You've got to just not give in to doubt. All of that doubt that washes over you, you have to stop it and say, no, this is the truth. This is what I believe. The Bible is the only thing that has the authority to tell me what truth is, and it's Jesus. So, I can't stress enough, do not give in to doubt. Do not let Satan lie to you. Don't believe what he says. Go back to the Bible. The Bible is actually your lifeline. It's the only way you're going to survive. It's like being out on the sea. You have to, if somebody throws you a lifeline, like, you're not just going to pass it by. You're going to hang on to it for dear life, because it's the only way you're going to survive. It's the only hope you have of getting out of there alive. And that's what the Bible is through life. It's the only hope that you have for making it through on top. It's the only hope you have, the only guideline that you have for what you're going to believe in, for what you're going to do, is the Bible. You have to read it. You have to hang on to it. Sometimes in the depths of a very deep struggle, you have to memorize a verse or two verses or something that really means something to your situation, and you hang on to them and you can't let them go and you can't give in to doubt that maybe they're not true. Because if they're not true, then God is not true. And if God is not true, why are you trying to be a Christian? Dismayed, alarmed, I shrink in fear as silently I wipe each tear. Afraid to trust the one who died, afraid he isn't on my side. Afraid he doesn't hear my cry, afraid he's left me here to die. Be not afraid, his voice I hear, I'm always with you, ever near. I know the place you stand today, I hear each desperate time you pray. I know the path I've planned for you, just rest assured I'll bring you through. Ashamed I ask for grace anew, to trust my Savior through and through. How can I doubt His love to me when I look back to Calvary? Although the path is very dim, my heart once more I give to Him. Jesus is really worth serving.